Welcome to another amazing episode of the Path to Podcast Success with your host, audience building and fear-crushing podcast expert, Evan Bradley Johnson. Every single week, Evan has powerful conversations with successful entrepreneurs and business owners, revealing the podcast strategies they use to grow their subscribers and sales, and how you can use your podcast to finally get to that next level. Now, turn on your mic and let's start down the path to podcast success.
Okay, welcome everyone to another very exciting episode of Path to Podcast Success. I have a guest here with me today that I am very excited to welcome to the podcast. You listening do not know this because I've had episodes, you know, released consistently for the last while, but I've actually taken a little bit of a break from recording new podcast episodes during the new year, during the holidays, and all that kind of stuff. And so after that ended, it took me about a week or two to get people booked on the podcast. And so I am very excited to welcome this guest today as this will be my first podcast back in a little while. So this is very exciting for me and hopefully very excited for everyone listening and for my wonderful guest, Danielle Hahn. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Evan.
Of course. Thank you for being here.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, right? Happy New Year. This is very exciting. So I like to start off in the same place with all my guests, and that is by making sure that everyone listening is on the same page and they have the context that they need to get the most they can out of this conversation, out of this podcast episode. So for those people, go ahead and tell us, what is it that you do?
Sure. So I am a professional confidence and empowerment life coach. So I know there's lots of coaches, lots of life coaches out there. And so I really focus on the aspects of being able to tap into your confidence from the inside out and how to embody that, whether that's in your career, your relationship, your family. And I also focus a lot on somatic work with our bodies and not just living from our head up.
Okay. Now I know what helped me because I definitely grew up very, very shy, very introverted, very, very much not confident in myself or in the things that I was doing. Way better now. I honestly attribute most of that to podcasting, but for you, I mean, you're the expert, right? So I want to kind of jump right into the kind of actionable, piece of advice. And this is especially, it's very much a topic near and dear to my heart because of the struggles I've had with it. So tell me a little bit about your work surrounding confidence with your clients and the kind of things you do to help them with it.
I love that question. So really the biggest thing that I do when I'm working with someone who is, I would say, struggling with their confidence or desiring to grow their confidence, right? So one of the first things that I do is to help that person get in tune with their body and get in tune with the sensations of their body. And it might be like, okay, what does that mean? How is that connected? What is that going to do for me? And so what it can do for that person is to notice when I'm feeling nervous or not confident, what sensation is coming up for me? Is my heart racing? Are my hands sweaty? Is there like a pit in my stomach? And when noticing those feelings, what are they trying to tell me? Maybe those feelings are literally your nervous system alerting you, just trying to keep you safe. And maybe practicing with our body to help us to know we are safe, we're not in danger. And so we can kind of begin a practice with working with ourselves to not only feel those uncomfortable emotions and to kind of grow our tolerance for being a little bit uncomfortable and then how to move through them. And that is a process, but that's where we start.
Okay. So, because things related to confidence, it makes sense that a lot of it stems from the body and the things that you're feeling. And if you're feeling stressed out, if you're feeling anxious, it's a lot harder to approach these kinds of things with confidence, right?
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And especially now, I know for me, a lot of my listeners and people I work with, pretty much all entrepreneurs, business owners. Is that the same for you?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's really where confidence, I mean, that's.
Actually, not 100%. I would say it's probably 70-30. So I say yes quickly, like most of them are, but I do work with clients who are not entrepreneurs and who have possibly a corporate job, and they're really working on confidence in their role or working on confidence towards like a raise or a promotion. But I do
Yeah.
work with entrepreneurs as well. So.
I mean, hey, it all kind of comes down to the same skill, and that skill is having the confidence to be able to ask for what you want, whether that is asking for a promotion, right? And maybe not in so many words. Maybe it's just go up to someone and say, "Hey, can I have a promotion?" But like at the end of the day, it comes down to asking for what you want, and it all is very much the same thing for business owners and entrepreneurs. If you want a new client, at some point in the process, you do have to make an ask in some way. Like it can't happen without that.
Right, yes. Most
And
definitely.
yes, and that's where confidence plays in. Is that what you'd say one of the like kind of driving motivating factors of a lot of your people to work get that confidence up? Is it because they're not where they're at business or?
Yes. A lot of time, most often it's because they're not where they're at, either in their business, possibly even it can cover a lot of ground, honestly. It could be in their dating life, it could be in their job, but I would say vast majority is, like you said, because they're not quite where they want in their business or their job.
Yeah.
And then kind of like beyond that first step a little bit is I'm also very practical. So yes, we want to get in tune with our body. And I know I mentioned like our nervous system, that's like a big thing that I work with, because our nervous system is like controlling everything and we don't realize that. And like a
Oh,
quick example would be like if a bee like flew towards your eye and you do this, you did not logically think, I am going to swap my hand up across my face right now. You just did it. And so with things like having confidence or feeling different type of emotions, oftentimes it's a subconscious nervous system program that's just running in our bodies, literally designed to keep us safe. And so we don't know the difference of a bear charging at us sometimes, or like a scary conversation or a situation at work. Our body doesn't know the difference always. And so that's where I help coach my clients to help their body get on the same page as what's happening, and then work through to then build that confidence up. And confidence really is only built through successes, believe it or not. Some people think, confidence is something you can just like magically have. Confidence is built on successes. And so we have to start with like, what is this possibly maybe a smaller success that we can build on before we get to like maybe the biggest success that we're trying to work towards. So
right. I love
we're talking.
that. And I love that because it's something I've thought about too when experiencing any kind of fear or anxiety or stress or low self-confidence. It's kind of interesting. Like we have the same bodies, like we have the same physiology as the people who lived, 2,000, 5,000 years ago, right? But I don't remember the last time I've had to like protect myself from some nature related situation. You know what I mean? Like, last time I was camping, I was up my it was more glamping than camping. Like I didn't have to deal with any of that. No bears showed up. It was just went to the woods, it was fun. But like those systems, those processes in your body are still there. We haven't evolved out of
Fully,
that.
right.
And so they have to kind of have an outlet to go somewhere. And for us today, especially entrepreneurs, our version of running from a bear or something like that is getting on those like sales calls and those prospecting calls and doing that.
Like I'm currently working with a client who wants to be more visible online, and she feels very confident one-on-one, but like showing up and making live videos or videos on her big struggle for her. And so the thing is, and I have an approach where some, coaches would be like, okay, go live every day this week, you can do it. Now, maybe that does work for some people, and that is an approach you can take. But what I found to be more A, sustainable, and B, successful for my clients is actually a little bit of a slower and steady approach. Because just like how like fad diets don't work or crash diets don't work, the same is with making change in our life. And it doesn't mean it has to take a long time, so don't get me wrong here, but like making those like adjustments on a little bit of a slower, steady pace, I have found to be more successful for my clients. So I don't take an approach of you're here and I'm going to jump you. Let's say you're on a one of scale of 1 to 10 and 10 being super confident and you're feeling a one. I'm not going to give you practices to get you straight to 10. We're going to work on getting to 2 to 3 and then 3 to 4. And then it almost compounds like a snowball and it ends up happening quicker than you'd think, but it like sustains than it would if I just tried to jump to the 10.
That is amazing. And I really want to highlight that for anyone listening. Like that is hopefully anyone listening was able to really internalize that and realize that, because the coaching market is unfortunately very, very saturated, right? A lot of people, I mean, the barrier for entry is like remarkably low, but the barrier for success is really high. Mm-hmm. And I have been able to, just from personal experience, I can tell now when a coach is legit or when a coach is just telling you what you want to hear and getting you all excited when they, you know, take their fancy pictures in front of their most likely rented Lamborghini or the one they just found out on the street just for, you know, the clout or whatever.
Yeah.
You definitely, I feel from you that you're definitely one of the legit coaches that are out there, because that's what you want to hear. Is that you can say, now we're going to get you from 1 to 10 right now. You're good, you know, 6 figures in 60 days. Like, yeah, you could do it. Mm. That's not how that works.
Yeah.
It's just not. It just is not how that works realistically. Okay, I mean, maybe if you work, you know, 15 hours a day for six, 60 days, then you could get from 0 to 6 figures. I actually had a podcast guest talk to me about that where they were like, they made their first $1 million in 1 year from zero. But of course, the asterisk, and they talked about this. They was like, yeah, here's what a lot of other coaches won't tell you. They worked like 12 hours a day every single day, not one day off for a full year to do it. And I'm like, all right, well, yeah, duh, of course you're going to make $1 million if you do that. I'm just unwilling to do that. I'll work hard, but I'm unwilling to work quite that hard. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you're not just saying, yeah, I can get you to step 10 right now. Pay me money and I'll do it. And if I can't do it, then it's just because you didn't work hard enough, or you didn't put in as much effort, which is something I see a lot from coaches saying that to put the blame off themselves. And it's just like a really toxic situation. And so I really wanted to highlight your approach being a lot, like the best word I can think of is healthier. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Is that, do you kind of know what I mean? Have you seen that too?
You're saying yes. Yeah, I relate so much. And I feel like there is a lot of that toxic energy in the coaching industry. And part of me didn't even want to get into this industry for that reason. But I was like, no, I need to just tune that out and be and do what I know is true and going to help people. And I've stuck with that. And I'm just so glad, because I do see what you're describing a lot. And I do understand exactly what you're saying. And to your point, maybe someone does want to spend a whole year working 15, 20 hour days. Cool. That's their prerogative. They can, you know, like no problem. Yeah. And at the time, for many people, that isn't really A, realistic, B, sustainable, C, how are they going to be feeling at the end of that year? What at what cost, you know, to their relationships, to their health, to their stress, to their long-term well-being. So it's like, again, that's not my target client. I'm not targeting that person. I have no judgment if somebody wants to do that. But again, the people who typically come to me, I am working with in a more, in my opinion, sustainable way that will actually translate into more success over time. So everyone has a different approach, but I agree with you. It's like, I struggle sometimes. So I'm like, okay, some of these coaches that seem quote unquote the most successful, I often wonder, I'm like, okay, but I really think they're just really good at marketing. And then I talk to people who have worked with some of them. And they're like, I did not get what I thought I was getting. It was like, I just paid tons of money. Basically, it's almost like how you pay a lot of money for like branding and clothes. You're basically paying for the name. I almost feel like it's similar to that in coaching sometimes. I don't know if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense, because that was going to be what I was going to say. Actually, it was like, yeah, I have no judgment if someone chooses to work 15 hours a day for a full year to make $1 million. I mean, the guy that I mentioned who did that, well, he had a really good reason. He had a family. He was fired from his job. there was no other option really, right, to be able to live like a comfortable life. So like, all right, I get it. There's no judgment there. If anything, there's respect for him being willing to do that for his family.
Yeah.
The thing is, not many people actually do want to have that approach. It's that those successful coaches you're talking about, and I've had similar experiences. I've worked with some of those, there's air quotes there for people who are listening to this audio only, who I've quote unquote worked with those coaches. It's, yeah, same thing as brand name clothes. I hate brand name clothes that I did not buy at a thrift shop. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not doing that because I can get clothes that look just as good, if not better, from just not brand name, that way cheaper. And that's something about it. I mean, that's what, and a lot of coaches will talk about this, and I think it does kind of make sense. I mean, if you charge more money, then it's perceived as a more valuable. You know what I mean? And there's a huge, there's definitely a conversation to be had there about charging what you're worth. I think there's a danger out there. A lot of coaches maybe hear that and they'll go the opposite direction and charge dirt cheap, right? But like some of those coaches, I mean, some of those most successful coaches you're talking about, they're good at what I honestly kind of view as predatory marketing. They're good at manipulation. Yes. And preying on people who are in a difficult place in their lives, saying they
support. Yep.
Yeah. And they say you can get those results that the guy who worked 15 hours a day for a year got, but they forget to mention the fact that you have to work 15 hours a day for a full year.
Right.
Yeah.
And I also think a lot of coaches don't share how much work they're putting in, and they just are like, I make my own schedule, I do this, I do that. And it's just like the way the world works, and even the way money works, like, and being in relationship with money, however you view money, it requires work at some point. Like, you can't, it's just I'm laughing because I'm like, it's just laughable to me. And that's something that I've desired to speak about on my page, and I'll talk about that, where I'm like, hey, I took a part-time job for a short period of time because I wanted to feel fully stable as I continued working with my clients. I didn't want to get into this energy of desperation and manipulative marketing and pressuring clients. I never pressure clients to buy, because you know what? I've been pressured to buy and it doesn't feel good. I don't get the results that I'm looking for, and it's not of integrity to me. And so I refuse to do that. And I would rather work with less clients who truly are in a place where they are ready and they are able to invest. And they're also not going into astronomical debt to invest with me. I've gone into debt in investing in other coaches and have regretted it. And so I don't feel right being the person. And again, I'm not in charge of what someone does with their money. Maybe I don't even know how they paid and it's none of my business. But if they share with me that they, you know, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this, you know, I want to collaborate with that person. And I don't want to, you know, feed this, like you said, that maybe someone is in a little bit of a desperate place and they're more vulnerable or easier to manipulate. I don't want to be a part of that.
Exactly. No, I always see it when if I'm on Facebook or something like that, and I see those coaches posting their, you know, their daily twice a day or whatever, like their Facebook post, you know. Mm-hmm. And I remember there's one that I always remember. Well, there are two posts that always stuck out to me. There's one of this girl who was a picture of her like laying, like from like her like perspective, sitting on one of those like relaxed chairs you'd find by a pool at some resort in, like, I don't know, Costa Rica or wherever. And on her lap was her laptop, and had some work thing open. I don't remember what it was, but, and she made this post about how great it was to be able to, like, you know, the laptop lifestyle, work on the go, and I can do this and that, and amazing. And I'm like, my first thought is, why the hell? You're at a resort. Put your laptop away and relax. Like, what are you doing? And then it's like, well, they're doing that because the people that person, I'm sure, wants to see that post are people who are very much not at a nice resort in Costa Rica. They are at home and they do not have a lot of money, and they want to be at a nice resort in Costa Rica, working a couple, you know, 2 hours and pays for their, you know, 10 grand vacation. Mm-hmm. And so then they it really tugs those desperate heartstrings, and they invest any amount of money possible for the empty promises. Frankly, they are pretty much empty promises a lot of the time.
Right.
To, you know, if they invest in their expensive program, they too can go to Costa Rica.
Yeah. Most definitely. Yeah. Something you said earlier that I always have in mind about how you said, you know, the typical coaching verbiage of like charge what you're worth and raise your price, set it up. And like, I have such an issue with that statement because quite frankly, and I don't care if anyone thinks I'm cocky in saying this, no one can pay me what I'm worth. Okay. I am not a dollar amount. I am worth more than what anyone, like anyone could pay me. And that's like, I don't like that language or that context. Like, I understand the point of it, but I also am like, no, like, yes, we can look at what the market range is, what the going rate is, et cetera. But like these astronomical numbers that people are charging and are like, I'm doubling my prices because I'm like, I'm not worth 20K. I'm sorry. I'm worth a lot more than that. So that's where I'm like, I don't even buy into that conversation of charging what you're worth. I don't agree with that language.
That is a really, really interesting perspective that I have not heard before about that conversation. I've had the whole money, like charge, what are you going to charge conversation a lot of times with a lot of different people, a lot of different coaches on the podcast and off the podcast. And that is, again, a very unique perspective that I really appreciate because it is something, and I think this is probably due largely to a lot of that predatory marketing that's been prevalent over the last, like, you know, however many years coaching has really been a thing for online like this. People put, like, there's so much of your emotional validation and emotional worth tied up into your business, into your pricing, all that kind of stuff. For that never sat right with me and could never really put a lot of words to it. And you just did. And there's not, it shouldn't be tied up in it. I mean, your life and your business should be two separate things. You should love doing what you're doing. And it should be a great part of your life, but it should not be your whole life, I feel like, anyway. Or, I mean, I hate using the word should, but you kind of know where I'm going with that.
No, you're saying, for in your opinion and your viewpoint, you kind of can see where what you're doing and your income and your entrepreneurship and your business is like your entire identity. And it's like, there is no distinction between like me, an individual, and like the work that I do. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. And like, it's not like the charging conversation shouldn't be like, if I say charge what I'm worth, okay, I guess I'll my next package is going to cost $10 trillion. Like, right. I don't know, you know, but it's like, it's more about, okay, well, how much money do you actually want? You know, how much money do you want? Like, write it down. What's everything you possibly want to spend money on each month or every year? And then whatever number that gets you, well, you're gonna have to charge something to make that happen. I feel like that's kind of like the beginning and end of what that should be.
Yeah, I agree. I think that looking at, you know, what are your, and again, I'm all about raising your prices. There's many times where people aren't off. So I'm, you know, don't misunderstand me 100%, but it's that I'm big on the meaning of the word and the language that we're putting to things. What does that actually mean? And it's like, when I think about it, you know, clients that I've supported in, you know, I'm thinking of one woman in particular. She's a mom, amazing woman, and she was working on her confidence in her job. And she was able to, as a result of working with me and working with her confidence and how she presented herself at work, was able to increase her salary. I believe it ended up being either 35 or 40K, but it was very significant for her. And that's a huge change, you know, for many years, right? How long is that going to affect her? And it's just going to compound after that. And it's like, okay, so how can you put a price on that? Do I need to then say, oh, well, she got that raise, you know, 90% because of working with me, and it was 40K a year, and she had that raise for 10 years. Like, how do you quantify, you know what I mean? Like, how do you quantify like the support you're giving? I don't feel like you can, honestly, because the support I give people is truly life-changing, and you never know what that will affect in their life and their relationships and their job, etc. So it's like, looking at pricing, I agree with you. It's like looking at, because each person's lifestyle is different for them. And so for me, financial freedom and what I'm actually still working towards is a particular number of what covers my living expenses, covers my saving and investment goals, and then some money. I love traveling, and I want to be able to travel where I'm actually present traveling. Not like you, which is funny because you mentioned that. I don't really love this working on the go. I like to be like grounded in my work, like at home in my workspace. And then I like to take breaks.
Oh, yeah.
And so when I look at that, like what that number is, I'm actually not quite there yet. Totally cool. Fine with not being there, because I want to get there in a way that is of integrity to me and feels right. And so I would rather it take a little bit longer than in a manipulative, frantic, draining every day. It's just, it doesn't feel right to me. longer, I'm okay with that.
Yes. I love that because I say the same thing. Even if it takes me a little bit longer to get to that place than somebody else, that's okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would rather my business fail and have to go find some other job or something like that than end up, you know, preying on desperate people and manipulating them into giving me money, which is pretty much what that comes down to.
Like so much. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's so interesting. And that's really what the pricing comes down to is like, well, how much money do you actually want? And so when you come up with like that figure, because I mean, it's all about clarity is, you know, one of the most, I'm sure you talk about that a lot with your clients.
For sure. But yeah.
When you get that clarity, then you can work backwards and say, all right, well, I need to charge this much to this many people to make this amount of money.
Right. Most definitely. Yeah. I'm huge on reverse engineering things and breaking it down into doable steps. And it applies to this as well. So yeah, I love that.
So, as you know, I'm a fan of actionable advice, and I want to go back to the confidence, which is what all this comes down to, right? Yeah. Because let's say you do figure out your magic number and then how much you need to charge to make that happen. Well, it's probably not, you know, an insignificant amount, because I'm sure if everyone really were to ask for however much money they wanted, it'd be a solid amount. So if you're gonna ask for that much money, which you have to at some point down the road, that takes confidence. You know what I mean? If you're not going to fall prey to any of that manipulative marketing, well, that takes confidence in yourself and in being able to actually do it the way that you want. So what is one like exercise or something someone can listen and can do besides, of course, working with you? Besides that, what is something someone can do to kind of begin to kind of build that confidence back up?
Yeah, I mean, so when you're asking that, do you mean kind of building the confidence in general, or do you mean specifically related to this money question?
I'd say in general, because the just confidence is something that people would apply, that I have applied to every area of your life. You mentioned it, like you got dating, you have business, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there's,
got it. So yeah, I mean, something, and I'm huge on tangible, actionable steps as well. And so I love this question. Something I would say for someone who's listening and maybe knows like, I want to work on my confidence, I don't know where to start, you know, and yes, of course, I love working with people to work with me, but beyond that, what they can do on their own, you know, is really, a big first step I suggest is noticing. And so when I say noticing, people might say like practicing mindfulness, people might put different language to it, but really it's just paying attention to actually little things. Let me give you like a couple quick examples. So one could be if you are in the grocery store or out and about and you bump someone. And when I say bump someone, I don't mean like you like ran into them and knocked their basket over, just like a very subtle, like, you know, bump someone. And if we notice, and this is not only for women, but for a lot of women, we tend to over apologize. That's just something I've come across a lot in working with women. And so what I ask my clients to do is to notice what happens when either that happens or something similar. And if your response is like, oh, I'm so sorry, and you like shrink back and you like curl in, I know people can't see me, but like, if you like feel like you're like caving in almost on the inside, it's like replacing those apologizing with, oh, excuse me, oh, thanks for understanding, or like replacing those things that are actually part of it. It might sound small, even to the listeners, I'd be like, okay, interesting, how does that apply? Trust me, these small little things all have to do with confidence. And so if someone who, and even the way you carry yourself, where it's like, if you notice, your posture is actually huge, believe it or not. So like, if you notice like putting your shoulders back and like sitting straight actually affects your confidence. These are all small things, I know, but that's what I want to share, is the small things actually build up. And the second thing would be if you find yourself over, and this is maybe more of a work-related context. So it could be for entrepreneurs as well, though, entrepreneurs, or if you work in a corporate job, if you find yourself over explaining. So for example, let's say someone sent you an email and you didn't quite understand something. When you reply to that, asking for clarification, do you start it with saying, I am so sorry to bother you? Or do you just say, hey, I didn't understand this, could you please explain it to me? There's a very big difference in those two responses. It might sound small, but it's actually really big. And so I've had clients who, when we start with this, and they begin noticing wow, like the way I'm presenting myself or the way I'm approaching things is very like timid or passive. When we begin to work on those little things, it actually, kind of how I was explaining that snowball effect, it actually affects like your confidence as a whole. So I feel like I could talk like forever about this, but did that make sense? Do you have any, like, I'm curious.
That is amazing. And those are two things that I have done as well to help with confidence, because that's what I was thinking about. And for those of you listening to this, you couldn't see, but with the grocery store example, right? You bump into someone. I mean, for me, I mean, I am always with both. I mean, it's just your language is really, really important. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, for me anyway, if I'm in the grocery store or something, I'm not going to put too much thought into it. A courtesy mm-hmm. sorry is like, I'm not actually sorry, but it's like mm-hmm. just a courtesy. Hey, sorry. But it's also, I think the more important thing with that is the body language. I mean, like, your language is very, very closed off. Mm-hmm. You closed in on yourself. You brought your mm-hmm. hands in towards your chest. You look like you were afraid somebody's about to hit you. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, oh God, like I bumped into you. You're going to like beat the shit out of me or something. Like, no.
Right. Right.
Like if I bump into somebody, I'm gonna like, I'm not gonna like touch that person, but maybe extend my arm, like, oh hey, no, I'm sorry, you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Okay, cool. Oh, thanks. Have a great day. Like there's very different than like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay. Right. Okay?
There's different energy behind it. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. If you're like, almost like if you are like apologizing for existing, like we're human, we're normal, nobody's perfect. You're gonna like, things are gonna happen, and it's like how you respond to that and how you feel about it, and even. I love your example. There's a big difference between like, oh, sorry, man, my bad. Like there's a very difference between that energy to like, oh, I'm so sorry. Excuse me. I'll get out of your way. Like that's a very different feeling that you're experiencing. So yeah, I love that like distinction that you made. And I totally agree. Yeah.
It's just those little things just throughout, mm-hmm. you know, a person's whole life that mm-hmm. make those, that kind of a difference. And it's about having that confidence just in yourself. And it really starts with language, both body and mm-hmm. word language. You know what I mean?
And word, yeah, and verbal language, exactly.
Yeah, and that's really kind of what it comes down to, and practicing that, and mm-hmm. whether someone has to practice that in front of a mirror first, or you know, just begin applying right. it while they're out and about. That mm-hmm. that is what makes the difference. That's what happened to me. I mean, for me, it was mostly from my podcast. Having to mm-hmm. conduct interviews and guide conversations with people in a way that was productive and positive mm-hmm. over 200 times. It's a very much sink or swim situation. And right. so the language, eventually it just kind of became who I was. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. now I consider myself more extroverted, very confident. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with being introverted, but that's just kind of the language I was using.
Sure.
But mm-hmm. I had always wanted to be, and I felt like I could be, and I felt like the person I truly was. On the inside, I was a lot more outgoing and a lot more socially just excited. And that's what it became after podcasting. And so it's that was my outlet for practicing that language. But the same mm-hmm. thing can be achieved going to the grocery store. And how do you talk to the cashier? How do you talk to someone you bump into? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Are you willing to actually ask for help if you can't find something, or are you freaking out? Right. Like, no, I'm not gonna bother somebody.
Yeah. Small ways we can notice, and really it's about practicing that confidence in little small day-to-day things, and then we transition it into maybe the quote-unquote bigger things. That's why when you ask me like what practical advice, that I really would start there, and then you build upon that to where, okay, I'm gonna have a Zoom meeting I'm super nervous about. Okay, I'm gonna stand in front of the mirror and practice this. Like you mentioned, maybe you get to a point where you practice in the mirror. Yes, that is something else that I will definitely do with clients as well. And that is an advice I would give here as well. If you have something at work, or with your, again, even to the client I'm working with who on social media, she wants to show up more on her videos. You know, we've talked about that where it's like, let's try practicing, even just make a video that you're only going to see. You're not going live yet, but like take those steps to practice. And I'm curious, Evan, when did you start this podcast?
Like 2019, something like that. And okay. I went through a couple of times. I haven't posted every single week the whole time, but mm-hmm. within the last year or so, I've been doing consistently 5 episodes a week.
Amazing. Wow. That is a huge accomplishment. Congratulations. Since you shared a little bit here of feeling a lack of confidence before that and how much this has helped you, like, congratulations.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate you saying that. That really resonates deeply with me, because it's definitely a transformation that I've taken notice of, and it's kind of bled over to all areas of my life. So it's having confidence is great.
Yeah. Congratulations. So that's so awesome.
Very much worth the effort to you know, get that confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Very much worth any amount of money that you might charge. Hint, hint, everybody listening.
Foundational for your life, like you said, and you notice for yourself how it affects all areas of your life. It really does.
Yes, yes. Well, Danielle, I want to make sure I respect your time and the time of our listeners. So I want to thank you very, very much for coming on the podcast and being such an extraordinary guest and sharing such unique and interesting and very, very thoughtful insights into your business and into confidence and into all of that fun stuff. For people who are interested in you and in the work that you're doing, where can they find out more about you?
Yeah, thank you for having me, Evan. And they can find more about me on online. So Instagram, it is the Danielle Hahn. So it's just the Danielle Hahn, no spaces, no underscores or anything. And then I also have a website, daniellehahn.com. And they can also check out my fairly new podcast that I'm really excited about that is on any podcast platform. And it is the Danielle Hahn Show. So.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to bring that up. If you didn't just then, definitely check out the podcast. We didn't get a chance to dive into it in detail in this episode, but maybe we'll have to have you on for part two at some point and and talk a little bit more about the podcast because I love podcasts.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. Thank you so much for having me, Evan. And to your listeners, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode and for supporting the Path to Podcast Success Show. If you haven't already, please leave us a 5-star rating and a written review, letting us know what you think of the show so we can bring you the most value we can from these expert podcasters. Your support helps us reach more people looking to step up their podcast game so that they can continue to grow their brand and spread their message. So, again, thank you for listening to this episode of The Path to Podcast Success, and we'll see you in the next episode.